This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. 380 years ago today, the first permanent Maryland colonists stepped off their ships, the Ark and the Dove, and onto St. Clement's Island in what is now St. Mary's County. The group of about 140 people was led by Leonard Calvert, brother of Cecilius Calvert, who held the charter for the colony and the title of Lord Baltimore. For more than a century, Marylanders have taken time out on this day to remember the history of the Free State. With me this morning to talk about it is Scott Watkins. He's a member of the Society of Colonial Wars in the state of Maryland and has organized an event recognizing Maryland's history of religious tolerance this morning at 10 a.m. at the Baltimore Basilica on Cathedral Street. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sheila.
Now, before I ask you about the Calverts, tell us briefly, what is the Society of Colonial Wars?
The Society of Colonial Wars in the state of Maryland is a hereditary order for people who are descended from colonial militia officers or British or Royal Navy officers between the history dates of 1607 and 1775. It's an organization that is focused on preserving historic sites, educating the public about colonial history, also at the same time preserving archives, and also erecting statues and also plaques to promote and educate again the public on the important history of our colonial past.
And so the ceremony this morning is part of that educational
effort. It is indeed. It's all about freedom of conscience. Lord Baltimore, the second Lord Baltimore, Cecilius Calvert, being the father of it in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, to start, tell us about the Calverts.
The Calverts were a Northern England family, or a family from Northern England. They were Yorkshiremen. And the first Calvert, George Calvert, was Secretary of State to James I. He's very well educated. He attended Trinity College in Oxford and also became a member of Parliament and then eventually became Secretary of State. A very important man to James I.
But how did the Calverts come to hold Maryland?
Well, because of the great work that he had done for James I, James I was able to grant him something that he had always wanted to do, and that was to begin colonies in North America, the first one being Newfoundland, which really didn't work out so well because of the cold weather. But that's what George Calvert was very interested in. He was very interested in the New World.
But George Calvert died before the colony of Maryland was established, right?
That is correct. And his son, Cecilius, picked that up as well. James I was dead. And so it was Charles I who made good on those grants. And, of course, Cecilius picked up his father's vision to go on and continue developing a colony. And, of course, he did succeed in getting a land grant from Charles I in the Mid-Atlantic area, which we now know Maryland as Maryland.
And this was a proprietary colony. Does that mean that the Calverts paid something for this?
Well, it meant that it really was their own little fiefdom. I mean, they really were absolute rulers in Maryland. Of course, their charter was granted to them by the king, but really they were the first, they were the top of the law, and they ruled it like a fiefdom. It was a proprietary colony, an enterprise, a family enterprise that lasted up to the sixth Lord Baltimore.
Which was about when?
That would have been on the eve of the Revolution. And he was Frederick Calvert.
And was there a payment that they had to make in order to
yes,
maintain the
as colony? A matter of fact, the original agreement between Cecilius Calvert and Charles I was one-fifth of all gold and silver found, if found, was to be paid to the king every year, plus two Indian arrows to be presented at Windsor during Easter time. So that was the original agreement. Of course, there was no gold or silver ever found, but for many years, two Indian arrows were always presented.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Scott Watkins, a member of the Society of Colonial Wars in the state of Maryland, who's organizing a Maryland Day celebration this morning at 10 a.m. at the Baltimore Basilica on Cathedral Street. We're talking about the beginnings of the Free State. What kind of threats did the colonists face?
The colonists faced a number of threats. Number one, the colony of Virginia was not too crazy about Maryland becoming a colony. As a matter of fact, Cecilius Calvert had to fight for his right for the Charter of Maryland against the Virginia Company. They wanted so badly not to see Maryland come into being. And at that time, Cecilius Calvert was a Catholic, and it wasn't too great in England to be a Catholic. So he had to prove to his peers that he was loyal to England and to the crown by appointing an Anglican governor, that would have been Governor Stone, to maintain the charter and the rights to the colony. So there were a lot of challenges the Calverts were facing in getting the colony up and started because, again, there were other people who were feeling like they were being threatened by that very thing.
Maryland was the first and only Catholic colony.
Yes.
In British North America. Were other religions practiced here also?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was the vision of Cecilius Calvert to have a colony not only as a refuge for Catholics, but for other religious faiths as well within what they called the Trinity, faiths that belonged, that believed in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they created a law called the Toleration Act in 1649, which allowed that kind of freedom of religion, which was pretty big. I mean, not by today's standards, but back then, very big, to allow all degrees of Protestants and Catholics to be living together. It was very, very, very unheard of at the time.
And as you mentioned, freedom of thought or freedom of conscience is part of what you were focusing on in the ceremony.
Yes, because many scholars believe, American history scholars believe, that initial move was really the cornerstone for the First Amendment of our Constitution and our history of first becoming, a group of English settlements and then turning in or evolving into a nation, that is really the very beginnings, if you will, the seed of our First Amendment to the Constitution.
Well, congratulations on putting the ceremony together.
Well, thank you. I hope everyone comes out to it. And certainly, we're very proud of our Maryland history. And I always like to give the Maryland motto, which I'm probably butchering the ancient Italian, which is underneath our beautiful coat of arms, and that is Fatti Maschi Pro Femmine, which used to mean manly deeds, womanly words. And of course, in today's society, we like to think of it as brave deeds and wise and gentle words. And I think that's true of Maryland and Marylanders. We're that kind of people.
I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Watkins. He's a member of the Society of Colonial Wars in the state of Maryland and has organized a Maryland Day celebration this morning at 10 a.m., just a half hour from now, at the Baltimore Basilica on Cathedral Street. It will include descendants of the Calvert family, Baltimore's Catholic Archbishop William Laurie, other clergy, and a representative of Indian tribes in Maryland. We've got more information about this morning's event at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, we get particle fever. Stay with us on 88.1.